Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina while practicing the Qi running method. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. Howdy. As we say in my neck of the woods, how are you? It reminds me of someone I know who had us over to dinner several months back, and they have a dog, and they taught the dog to, you know, say hello, to greet you, hold up his paw, and I forgot what term she used whenever she introduced the dog and had him to do that, but I said, well, howdy. And so for my birthday, she actually sent me a card that had a message in it, and it said that she gave her dog's name, says howdy in quotes, and she's made fun of me ever since about saying howdy. This particular individual, she and her husband are from New York State. Great, great people. But we pick on each other. A lot of people from the north pick on me, and people I know are from all over the country, all over the world, really. I pick on them, and they pick on me. So, from the mid to midwestern part of North Carolina, I say howdy. By the way, let me introduce myself. My name is Roland, and I am the host, writer, director, editor, producer, whatever else it takes to get a show out, I'm all those things, of this podcast, 20 Minute Runner. And I'm so glad you have decided to join me today. We are running right now a 10-11 pace, and we've run 1.21 miles. So we're just getting warmed up. Hope to slow it down a bit, or speed it up a bit, I should say. But this is episode 68 of the podcast. We're glad to have you along. Appreciate you downloading, listening, and giving us a hear. If you are new to the show, let me remind you of the blog at 20 Minute Runner, excuse me, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. You can go there to email me, to listen to other shows, earlier episodes, things of that nature. And of course, you may have subscribed with iTunes or podcatcher or feed reader. You can do that as well from the page. But again, it's good to have you along with me today. Hey, hello. Today is Saturday, October 2nd, 2010, and it's about 6:45 in the evening, approximately 63-64 degrees, and I am running through one of the neighborhoods not terribly far from where I live, which is shaped kind of like a clover. It's got two arms sticking out and one sticking at the top, like a three-leaf clover. And we have just turned on the right clover. And the end of this cul-de-sac are some kids playing basketball. One girl, four guys. Oldest one might be 12, 13 maybe. Very lively neighborhood. The houses were all built within the last, well, the last one's been finished within the last 2 years. Hey, and the first one was built probably 4 years ago, maybe something like that. So we've turned that cul-de-sac, and now we're going to go up the middle, and I see a kid on a skateboard, two girls, one with a skateboard, one on a bike, another kid on a bike. Like the oldest is probably 12, 13 again. It's a good evening to be out and about. Here comes that car. But it's a wonderful October evening. And after hot summer, really, really hot summer, dry summer, things have changed for us. A couple weeks ago now, maybe 10 days, it went from 90 to 88 and then in the 70s the next day. And that's where we've been ever since. I don't think we've hit 80 in a week. And tonight's the coolest night we're going to have in the 40s, although it hit 50 last night. And it feels really, really good. I was planning on actually running today, Saturday. I was going to run Thursday and yesterday, or Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday or Thursday. And I got up Wednesday, it was pouring down rain and in the mid-50s. I don't have the clothing to handle that. And I've never really gotten out and left when it was cool like that and raining. We don't get that many days where I can't just hold back. But if you have any experience with that or know any information about clothing that would be good to wear when it's in the 40s, 50s, and raining, I would really appreciate that. Really, email me. You can find the email at the blog, and I'll give the address later, but email me about what you would recommend. In other words, if I want to get out and run, and it's 50 degrees, or even 45, and it's drizzling rain, or rainy, what have you got that I could wear that would work, keep me comfortably warm, and dry? I need to hear from you on that, if you would. And I would appreciate it. But anyway, I was going to get out Wednesday, raining. Got up Thursday, fed Tigger. And by the time I got through feeding her, it had started raining. I was fully dressed, ready to go. Quarter after six. Within 20 after six, it was pouring down, so I didn't go that day. I forgot what happened yesterday. So here we are. I've only gotten in two this week. But, you know, that's okay. We are beginning make plans for the half coming up, and I'm looking forward to that very, very much. This week, we have finally cleared out our yard with all the debris from summer. We have pulled up the few tomatoes we had and picked off the green ones, which will get ripe even after they're picked. And I picked all of the peppers of various types that I had, and have pulled up all the bushes, except for two jalapeno bushes, which are in the back. And those bushes, to me, even though they have peppers, I don't know if they'll produce any more peppers, but the ones that are on it may get bigger, I don't know. But I did pick enough to can some whole jalapenos a couple hours back. So I did that this evening. And I'm looking forward to whatever those two bushes hold. Also got me a clamp with a light. You know, one of these metal dome-shaped clamps. Put it downstairs on a timer that I had. It was like $6. Plus the bulb. Had the timer already. Clamped it overhead. Had two pieces of plywood. Put them down, and this morning, if you walk in our attic, our basement, excuse me, it's head high. Or better. And this morning I got that set up and had the plywood down, and we took all the plants that can't stand the cold or really even much cooler weather, some of them, and put them downstairs. And I've got the light on a timer to run several hours a day, so that hopefully we can keep those alive. My goal would not be to have them to thrive over the winter, but if I can keep them alive, certainly I'll be very happy with that. So we'll see how that goes. I'll let you know. I hope the water maybe a little bit once a week and keep them going. But I've got some a fern. I've got a peace lily that looked like it was going to die. It's almost 6 years old. It's given to me as a gift at my dad's funeral, January of 05. And looked like it was about near the end. And Cindy cut it back. We moved it to the porch out of direct sun. And I didn't think they would tolerate that. But we watered it regularly rather than just when it wilted. And the thing has come out. It's about 10 inches tall, but also all the sprouts are new. So it looks like it'll make it if I can keep it alive. It's under there. I've also got some of this long, glossy looking green vine type stuff. I'm not sure what you call that, but it grew. It literally was 6-7 feet long. Cut off a significant part of that and have it down there. And then I also have a total of probably 6 or 8 other plants that I'm not even familiar with the name of them, but they're in pots. And the biggest one I've got is a banana tree that we gave to Cindy's father-in-law, my father-in-law, excuse me, her dad, back on Father's Day. It was about 1 foot tall. Now it's a good 4 feet. It's really grown, so it's down there too. But I cut back my roses and put the mulch up around them so the canes will get good and hard before cold weather. Emptied one of the bird baths, turned it over, and pulled up some other plants, flowers. Trimmed our bushes a few weeks ago, 3 weeks maybe. So we're getting ready for winter. Heat guy came this week, checked out the heat pump. Everything seems to be okay. We usually use some small gas logs we have as well. But everything's going good with that. Hope things are going well with you. It's good to have you along again with me for this episode. I did want to give you a quick update on the fish. My 30-gallon tank now has 2 blue gouramis, 2 gold gouramis. I bought 2 paradise fish, paradise gouramis, a couple weeks back now. I've got a total of 5 platies, a molly, a cori albino catfish, and a placostomus in a 30-gallon tank. Now, if those gouramis get big as they can get, probably going to have to take some fish out of there. May have to set up another tank or something. Won't worry about that right now. But I'm doing my partial water changes. And so far, so good. Had 1 molly to die the week I got the tank, which I told you. Or the week I got the fish, rather. The first fish. She was already developing a fungus on the mouth. And by the time we got it treated, it was too late. But anyway, the other one's done fine. And the thing is beginning to cycle. You need to give it 4 to 8 weeks to cycle, where the good bacteria grows and begins to take care of a lot of the nitrates in it, as well as some of the ammonia. And then once a week, I do a 10% water change, adding dechlorinator as well as aquarium salt to it, per the measurement directions on the box for the salt. And just vacuum about 1/4 of the bottom with the siphoning hose, because you want to leave good bacteria in there. Clean the whole bottom every time, you're removing a lot of it. So remove about 1/4 of it. In other words, clean 1/4 of the bottom while you're taking out 3 gallons in a tank that size. And you're good to go. So far it's working well. And got me another betta. Put him in the 1.5-gallon tank without a filter. Water's perfectly still. So far he's doing fine. Bettas are very interesting fish, Siamese fighting fish. They like still water. They prefer it a little warm, but they'll tolerate, 70. For most aquarium fish, tropical, you want to keep it somewhere between 75 and 80 degrees, generally speaking. And I like to keep mine about 78 or 79, because I know that combined with salt will help cut down some parasites. Cindy and I went to Marshall's, no, TJ Maxx yesterday, Friday. I had the day off, and we looked around a bit, found this big vase, which comfortably holds 2 1/4 gallons of water, 2 gallons and a quart, although it could hold just a little more than that. But I put 5 pounds of gravel in it, one plant, a little piece of coral looking stuff made for aquariums, and then took the small filter out of the 1.5 gallon and put in it. And we added 2 27-cent Comet goldfish. Well, they were fine until I noticed last night something was wrong with one of them. And it almost looked like he had a bone sticking out of the top of his back with an ulcerated place where it protruded. Now, I've heard of anchor worms, but I've never seen any. So we took him back today, and the guy confirmed that, yeah, it's an anchor worm, which I could have treated. But the bottle of stuff is $7. Fish cost 27 cents. So I would have kept him and treated him had I realized that's what it was. But now I know. We're forever learning. But we turned the fish in and may get another one another day or so. But anyway, the goldfish, we sort of put it together ourselves. It's tall, but it's got a small filter. And so far, so good. It's working well. So we've got the betta in a small 1.5 gallon tank with no filtration. 30 gallon tank, air stone filtration, full of fish. And one goldfish in a 2 1/4 gallon tank, which probably not even big enough for him, much less another one, but we'll keep messing with it, keep tinkering with it. Okay, we are hitting about a 9:40. Without my glasses, it's hard to see. I believe it's 9:46. We've been running about 2.8 miles. I'd love to get 7 today, possibly 8. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring you back in just a little bit toward the end of the run. And then what I want to do to close this episode today, I spoke about this last week. I'd like to just very quickly walk you through the Garmin 110 as far as you get through running, what can you do with it, hook it up to your computer, what does that look like. We'll spend a lot of time on that, but it'll give you a feel for it, especially if you are looking to purchase some type of device for yourself, GPS particularly. So far, I would recommend it. I do know that first time I ran in it, the cul-de-sac that I run up, that only has one house at the very front of the cul-de-sac where you go in. When I first ran with the Garmin a couple weeks ago, that was really skewed because that did not show up in the photograph, and it moved over to a nearby highway. Even though the distance was correct, the mapping on Google Earth was not correct, that part of it. Well, I ran in it again, same route. And I don't know how often that Google Maps updates their pictures, their data, but I did not have a problem. And it showed up correctly, even the pictures correct. So that tells me that at least between the first run and second one, that they had updated their data. Satellites had taken fresh photographs or whatever. Okay, 9:47, it just beeped at me to tell me that that was my pace for mile 3. It does give me average pace from quarter mile to a mile, but sometimes I'm a little slow in hearing it. I think it does beep, but I just don't hear it. So we're averaging a 9:47 at the moment, working on mile 4. And I think we'll pause here, throw on some music, and I'll be back to finish up this run. We'll bring you in at the very end of it, and then we'll take you through just very simply the steps that we go through to get the information off of the watch onto the computer and without a lot of detail, at least share something about some of the information that Garmin Connect, the website, you link with, of what it will do. And that's true of any Garmin item, not just the Forerunner 110, but I think any of the Garmins will link up with that. Okay, I got a really slow truck. Here we go. All right, thanks for joining me. We'll be right back. You are listening to episode 68 of the 20 Minute Runner podcast.
Short-sighted, self-directed eyes. I chose a compromising life. Grew tired of everything I tried. It never satisfied.
Climbing the Big Hill, which is the last hill of any significance, within 0.3 miles of my home. I have felt good this run. We've run an hour and 15 minutes and we've covered 7.8 miles. So, I don't know what the average is going to be. But anyway, my left knee has been bothering me a little bit. And one of the things I like about chi running, among many, we're cresting the hill, is you can actually change your foot plant since you're not really pronating, and you can sort of feel what feels better, what hurts, what you might need to adjust. And I've discovered that we are at the top. That if I try to run balanced, which we covered that in one episode, balance your feet. If I balance on the outside of the left foot, that helps the knee pain significantly. And I've also discovered if I can get the waddle down, go back and look at the episode where we addressed the strengthening exercises. And basically you want to waddle as you run with your hips freely swinging and your arms being like a counterbalance. One of the things I forget to do is to hold my arms back, which helps that. You know what? I just remembered that is one element of it that I might need to let them swing a little further back. But anyway, that helps the knee. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish this run up, and when we come back, hopefully we'll be at the computer and be loading the Garmin Connect page. And as I said earlier, I'll quickly walk you through some of the neat stats, and we'll give you the information about this run, so you'll know if you make a run and then immediately go and get synced up with the Garmin, you can get an idea of what type of information you'll be able to get. So we'll come back and do that, and that will be the closing of this episode. We will be back. Back at the computer after our run, and wanted to walk you through what happens whenever we hook up the Garmin, the 110 anyway. And so I've hooked the cable to the computer and then put the watch in the clip that comes with it. Let me set this out of the way, and then we're gonna just very quickly, not spend a terrible amount of time on it, but walk through what happens. When I plug it in, it says upload to Garmin Connect using the program provided on the device. And I'm going to hit OK. That may or may not be the case on your computer, but if it's not, you can go to their website, connect.garmin.com. And then when I get there, it tells me to sign in, which I will do. And I've already created an account, which you had to create whenever you first connect it and register your device. And it seems like there's some software you have to upload, which it leads you through that. It's very, very simple. And it searches for the device. It says Forerunner 110, and then it has the unit ID. Then I have a choice to upload new activities or upload from a list. Well, I've only got one new activity on here. So I'm going to hit New, and it says uploading new activities to Garmin Connect. There's a bar, a very thin bar, and it has uploaded the run from 10/2/2010, and it also gives me other things that are on the watch, other runs from that I've used it for, and it will, as I think I've said this, it'll hold, I believe it's 100 hours. Something like that. It's more runs than you would ever need to leave on there, but it'll delete the oldest run as the memory on the watch gets full. So there's a green mark. The status means it's uploaded. The box has been checked, so we're good to go. It says these activities have been successfully uploaded, and then I can click View Details. And that's where I really wanted to share with you what is what. Okay, whenever you open up this map, it automatically on the page on My Connect, it gives you a summary. My overall time was 1 hour 19 minutes 54 seconds. The distance was 8.23 miles.
elevation gain was 487. And I'm not really sure exactly what that means, but I think that obviously I go up and I go down, so I think that is factoring in all of that, but I don't typically need that as well. And then for pace, it's telling me that the time, 119.54, moving time, 119.34, I did stop and get water twice. The elapsed time, 119.54. The average pace, 9.42 a mile. Average moving pace is 9.40. And the best pace was 7.32. Now, the best pace, that is based on a mile. It's not based on my single speed because you set the watch to do intervals, or at least measure in intervals, and I've got mine set on the default, which is 1 mile. So that means I ran, I'm assuming that means I ran one of the miles at 7.32, and we'll find that out in just a minute. Maybe that's not what that means. Maybe that is the best pace that I hit. I believe that might be correct. Not the average mile. I'll give you the mile averages here in just a moment. Then it gives me the minimum elevation was 806, maximum elevation was 930, and the total elevation gain was 487, loss was 482. So I think that tells me that if you count all of the inclines together, then I went 487 feet high, higher than the place I started. But I came back down, obviously. As I went up hills, I came down, and that was 482. Minimum elevation was 806, and the maximum was 930. So you can see that actually the largest hill, I guess, would be, or maybe it's the largest incline from the beginning of the run, I'm not sure. But anyway, from the beginning of the run, at least, we know that I climbed a total of 124 feet. That could have been from the beginning of the run to the highest point in the run, or it could have been from the beginning of a low hill, or the bottom of a hill, rather, to the top of the hill. So I'm not sure about that, but I don't really use that as much. I probably could look in the help here on the web page and find out. But it gives me my splits. These are broken down by 1 mile, and these are my splits from mile 1 to 8 in order. 10.26, 9.39, 9.47, 9.51, 9.31, 9.23 was mile 6, 9.30, 9.34, and then the last 23 one-hundredths was 9.27. So the best that I averaged for any 1 mile was actually the 9.23 at mile 6. And the slowest mile is the beginning at 10.26, which seems to be pretty obvious. And then you can actually move from pace to speed, and my average speed was 6.2, average moving speed 6.2, the maximum speed was 8.0, so that's basically what I was doing on my other watch, being able to read that. So the best pace, that is the pace that I hit during the run, not from mile to mile. Now again, I'm having an issue with the watch either beeping and me not hearing it, or not beeping, but it is tracking the mile splits correctly. I do want to ask you for some advice in running a longer race, or a race particularly like a half or a marathon or even a shorter race. Would it be better for me to keep track mile to mile, or would it be better for me to just do away with the splits and have one split for the whole race? And that will more or less give me my current time for the entire race. I'm thinking that might be more beneficial. Because let's say that I'm wanting to average 9.05 for the marathon, and I hit 9.11 for one, and I hit 9.02 for one. It's not going to give me an average for the entire run unless it is set to not give me splits. And then it's just as I look at it, it will tell me. And I think I may try that on a run and just see how that works. And then over to the right is a map. And on that map, it has the starting point with a red flag, and then it gives the route that I ran, and in the case of this one, it is totally accurate as far as showing where I went, even down to at points it shows what side of the road I was on, that type of thing. So that's on the right side of that opening page as well. Then I can hit the splits page, which is on the top of where the map is, and it gives me there the time, the moving time for each mile, the elevation gain, elevation loss for each mile, and again the average paces that I was telling you about in the average moving pace. And the average moving pace was 9:25, but obviously when you're out on a run like a marathon, you've got to include, or any distance, you've got to include the time you're not moving as well. And then it gives me the calories burned. And it does correspond correctly to the faster mile. I got up to 115 during that mile, 115 calories. I burned approximately 936 calories. And then it gives me the best pace for each mile. Now that's interesting. And I actually hit the 732 in the fourth mile between mile four and five. I hit 732. I hit 752 a couple of other times. 801 once, 807 once. The slowest best pace was mile one at 9:11, and the fastest was in the middle. And then it I had a quick mile 7 to 8, and then back to 8:36 for the last 3/10 or so. So that is helpful information. That tells me that yes, I am hitting a sub 8 mile at certain points, and in this case, it was between miles 4 and 5, 5 and 6, 6 and 7. I hit below 8 minute pace on those, so that's great. But the way it determines your weight, excuse me, your calories, is when you set the watch up, it'll ask you for your age, it'll ask you for your gender, and it seems like it may ask you for one other item. I'm not sure. Is it the height, maybe? Anyway, it will tell you that. And then one other thing on this page that you can click on is the player. And when the player loads, and I'm waiting for that to load. Here we go. On the left-hand side, we have an elevation chart running from 800 to 940. That was the elevation above sea level. And then on the right, we have, beginning at the top, the highest pace over 11 minutes, which I hit beginning of mile 1, excuse me, between mile 1 and 2 at the beginning. I slowed down to near 940 at one point, and then next to just about mile 8, I slowed down to close, excuse me, that would be 11 minutes. I was looking at the elevation. So I hit near 11 minutes at the beginning of the end of the first mile, and then I hit just over 11 minutes right near mile 8, but those were very brief. And the neat thing is I can look on here and I can tell by the elevation that those are actually times whenever I was running up a hill. So that's neat. It's got speeder elevation. And here is really a neat thing. You can hit player and you can adjust how fast or how slow it runs through this. And I'm going to hit the button. It's set on slow. And now it is going across this graph, giving me the elevation as well as the speed. And as I look down at the map below it, it is basically, the marker is tracing out the route that I took. And so here we go, are going down Hasty School. Now we are circling the shopping center, coming in front of it, back up Van Logan, Washboard to a short cul-de-sac, and then down to Washboard and then back. And basically we repeat all of that, and as it's doing that, on the bottom time, it's giving me total time, total distance, elevation, and my speed for each of those. And it goes back to the beginning, and I am finding, after the initial problem with the map not being correct in an area, evidently they have updated the photographs and that information on Google Earth, and it is now correct. So it has correctly mapped my route, and I can go anywhere on this route, and either by clicking on the route or by clicking on the graph, actually just putting my cursor on it, and it'll tell me, for instance, at 33 minutes and 32 seconds into the run, I had traveled 3.35 miles, the elevation was 904, and I was running a 920. So I can actually go down here and find where my speed was the quickest as I look at that, which is really pretty neat. But it varies, it goes back and forth. So that is the MyConnect. And then when I hit Dashboard, basically Dashboard is a general page, activity type running, event type uncategorized, the time, the distance, the elevation gain, and total calories again are 936. And then you can do a lot of other things. Activities, you can click that tab. Again, we're in Garmin Connect, and it gives me the same information I just told you about for each one of my runs. And I could go back and title these like race, long run, etc. And then if I click calendar, it shows me the run that I took with the time of day. That was at 6:38, and I ran 8.32 miles. And if I click on that, it will go back and give me the basic page again. And then for reports, I've had a certain number of activities here. I've ran 24 miles, 3 hours, 40 minutes, elevation gain, average speed, and the calories, 2,600 calories for that. And then you can go back and set goals as well. And these goals, basically, you can set like future goals. If you want to run a certain number of miles in a week, you can set the parameters for that, and it will do that for you. And then it does do weight, which I'm not weighing. I probably could, but it will give me my weight. I have to put that in manually, of course, each time that I do that. So that's the dashboard. Okay, and then we go back to My Connect, and we're back to the main page there where we have the very general information. And you can create a goal from there, and it lists my activities on the left. Okay, so what do I do if I want to get out of here? Well, if it's the computer at home, what I have to do is basically shut the thing down and then take the watch off and unplug it. But here, I just go down and hit the safely remove hardware, mass storage device drive E, safe to remove it. And then I unhook the watch, and as I look at it, I can tell that it is charging at this point, and I've got a total of 3 of 4 bars, so I may want to let this charge a little bit, but I could remove it at that point. And that is it. All of the information that I gave you is on their website, and when you get your device, you register it, and I'm sure this is the same for any Garmin. And from there, you just move forward, and you can set goals, you can go back and look. One thing I have checked, which I cannot find, I would love to be able to share this with others. And if I do that, I'd love to have a live feed like I did with the other watch, or excuse me, with Buckeye Outdoors. But so far, I am not finding that. In other words, I can't put HTML code, I can't put that in that I can find. In other words, if I put this on my website, I've got to manually do that each time, the information. So I probably will need to go ahead and use Buckeye Outdoors for the blog, but I can go back here and search my information at any time, and I also write mine down in a journal, which I would recommend you do as well, just for safekeeping. And you don't have anywhere on here that I can see to add personal thoughts or comments. It just literally gives you information, but no personal thoughts or comments. So that is what we've got, and so far I really, really like it. It is helpful. It gives me what I need. I can go back and track my runs and tell where I am running the fastest, the slowest, things of that nature. I can actually look and see where the greatest elevation gains are if I wanted to try to run some hill work, that type of thing, and that would be helpful as well. Okay, if you need to get up with me, go to my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. You can also email me from there, or just send an email to 20minuterunner@gmail.com. And at the website, why don't I go there real quick to the blog and tell you some things very quickly that you can do there. I do want to encourage you to check out the music, which we get from places like Magnatune and Music Alley. If you'll follow the links to the music at each episode's blog, then you, in show notes, you literally can download the songs, things of that nature, which is really, really neat. But if you go to the blog, there's a player at the top where you can listen to the most current episode. There's a countdown to the half marathon on the 12th of December. There is episode 67, which this will be 68 you're listening to. I've got listener photos with brief descriptions of the names and things under that. You can connect with me on Facebook or on Twitter. You can look at my last workout. You can check the weather if you so care. Or you can actually take the survey, which this time is, what is your favorite time of year to run? Email me why. You can subscribe to the podcast with iTunes. You can go to the Listener Race Reports link page. You can look up photos from races that I've run, the most recent races. You can see the upcoming races and results. And I have probably a dozen links of interest that you might be interested in. And then Cool Running, their top headlines are running there as well. And you can also, even if you're interested, there's a Fox News ticker giving you the latest news. So go there and check it out. Send me an email, check out the website, let me hear from you. I'd be glad to include any audio clips or thoughts from email or pictures or race reports or anything in an upcoming episode and at the website. So again, the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. It's been great having you with me. Have a great week, everybody. We'll be back quick as we can on another run. And I think what I'm going to begin next time is discussing the reasons that we run. And I've done that a little bit in the past, but I'm going to take those one at a time. What is it about running that makes it worth doing? And we'll spend a little bit of time just discussing that as we run. And we'll look forward to hearing you back then. We'll look forward to having you back with us then in episode number 69. Have a great week, everybody. Thanks for being with me. I hope this has been helpful to you. Send me information what you do with your GPS. If you have some insights on the Garmins, let me know that as well. And there's a lot more I could say about this device, but certain things it won't do, but it does the basics, which is what it's designed to do. It's not terribly expensive, and so far, so good. All right, we'll talk to you later. Have a great week. Thanks.